The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless. The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Switching broadband needn't be a hassle with Sky's dedicated switch squad.
Thank you, Gwen, in Dunmore East, the sunny southeast. I believe the sun is doing the job there. The drive-in circus in Tremore, this week, and we are bringing all the kids, and we can't wait. They're all hyper with excitement. And why wouldn't they be, Scooter? Because that is a big deal. And when you're a kid and sitting in the car and you're just going, it's a new world order. So well done to the drive-in circus. And that's what you do. Rather than looking at the tent going, what are we going to do with this? You go, let's keep on moving. Let me introduce you to Steve Simmons. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Ryan.
Very nice to talk to you.
Good to be on your show.
And what part of the world are you in, Steve?
I'm in Galway, in a care centre, Clarenbridge Care Centre in Galway.
Good. Well, listen, we appreciate you taking our call this morning. And we're going to get to the care centre in a moment, I suppose. But can you tell us a bit about yourself and life before August 2019?
Well, I was working a full time job in a glass factory in Hempmoor, tailor made glass system.
Yeah,
I was working night shift there 6 days a week, and every summer I was doing security at festivals, and that was the night that we were going down to work at the All Together Now festival in Port Law and Waterford, and that's when that was my life, really.
And
work and crack,
everything else in between. And tell us a bit about your family life. Where were you living and who were you with? Or
I was living with my grandparents, Paddy and Bridgie, and in Ross Gray in Tipperary. So I was looking after them.
Okay. And you were, at this point, what age are you now, actually?
I'm 25 now. I was 24 when the crash happened.
Okay. And you said you were going down to the All Together Now festival, which was kind of a relatively new festival, a very popular one. And what were you doing down there? What were you working at?
I was working security with Sword Security from Dublin.
Okay. And
The festival is a year old. This is me saying, I worked at it the first year, and this is the second year I was working at it.
In security. So are you a big lad?
Yeah, 6 foot three.
Okay. And
about 20 stone.
Yeah, all right. So you've got the right dimensions for security now. So,
yes.
And what other interests would you have had?
A massive rugby fan. Massive.
Playing or supporting?
I used to play it, yeah. And then I dislocated my shoulder and it never went back right. So I gave my time on the rugby pitch came to an end then. I'm a massive follower of Ireland and Munster.
Okay, great. So you love
Leinster
sometimes, depending on the day. There's a tiny little pause in the line here, so that's why you're probably wondering why am I interrupting. It's just because it's just a bit peculiar, but we'll work our way through it. Tell me, if you wouldn't mind, then Steve, a little bit about the night of August the 2nd. It was a Friday night of the festival. I take it you were working that night.
Yeah, no, we went down. It was the Thursday night. We went down to set up the tents down there. And I was meant to go home with my friends, but I ended up staying on. And I went home later that night. And it was that we crashed in on the way home.
And how much of that can you remember?
I can remember coming up to the crash. And about 5 minutes after the crash stopped. And then I just passed out then. The last thing I remember, I couldn't catch my breath. And I don't remember that. And I woke up then in the Mater Hospital. In the spinal injuries unit in the Mater Hospital.
And how many of you were in the car?
Two of us.
Okay. And the next thing you know, you were in the hospital, you wake up. Who or what do you see?
I actually thought I was on a boat.
Really?
Well, it must have been the tablets. I thought I was on a boat. And I couldn't move. There was somebody lying across from me and I wasn't able to move. But obviously I was paralysed and chest down, so I couldn't move. That's the first thing I noticed. And then they noticed the nurses coming in, the doctors coming in, and they broke the news to me then.
What do they tell you?
The doctor basically told me I'd never walk again, and I'm lucky to be alive. The extent of my neck break, he said he'd never seen nothing like it in his years of doing the operations.
And what sort of injuries had you sustained?
I fractured my C6, C7 and severed my spine.
And what did that mean then for you in terms of day to day, the body being and the care you required?
I need a full time care. To go up out of bed in the morning, dress myself, to wash myself. I need just everything. Care for everything. It's a big... I can move my arms and I have good upper body strength, but I'm still not... I still need cares, like, for the rest of my life.
6'3". Big, yep. Big man.
Yep.
Security, rugby, very physical person. To have that... Yep. Kind of taken away from you at the age of 24, as you were then, you're now 25. Can you tell me what sort of impact that had on you when they started to tell you this?
At first, I was down about it and I was thinking, how am I going to come back from this? Mm-hmm. And then I just the support I had and the positivity with my friends, family, even the carers and all the places I was in. They just pulled me through. And then I just thought, there is life after a spinal injury.
And when you hear initially about the injury, and when you're sitting in the bed and you're kind of, you've gone from thinking you're on a boat, you're now back to the reality of it, and you're trying to come to terms with hearing piece of news after piece of news. What were your families thinking, and what were they saying, and how did they react?
My family are devastated over the... When they found out that I'd never walk again, they took it really bad. They took it worse than I actually took it.
In what way?
Like, just they're devastated. They couldn't believe it. How my life changed in just a split second. Like, from the mom, they got the phone call that morning. Like, they were told to come down to the hospital. And they didn't think it was going to pull through. So imagine the devastation that went through them. Like. Mm. So,
and did you have to then get counselling? Did you have to kind of be minded mentally?
No, I did have... They asked me for counselling, but I just didn't think I needed it. And then when I went to the NRH, I had a psychiatrist up there. Maeve was her name. And she's just absolutely brilliant. But I just saw positive. They said that she said I didn't need it. Like, I didn't need counselling. I just could manage it myself, like, which I think I can anyway. I took it well.
You realise that after an accident like that, life-changing, and for your psychiatrist to say, I'm sorry, you're too positive, I don't need to see you. This says an awful lot about you. You know, that and your strength of character.
Yeah.
So what is that about? What is keeping you going? What is keeping you positive? Because there's a lot of people would see this as a horrible negative.
So my old life is dead, but I'm starting a new life now that I'm happy to start. And that's just... And the support of the people around me, the carers in Clarenbridge, the NRH, Waterford Hospital, the Mater Hospital, my family, my friends. It's been amazing, like. And I can never thank them all enough, like. They've done so much for me.
You mentioned the National Rehabilitation Hospital, extraordinary place up in Dunleary. You're gone from there. You're now in Crockwell?
Yeah.
And
in Clarenbridge. Yeah.
Clarenbridge, excuse me. And in Clarenbridge, what class of place are you in there? I'm not familiar with it.
It's a care centre with brain, 56-bed unit with brain and spinal injury unit for young people. So, like, there's people here that have injuries like me, and there's people with brain injuries. But it's like a little family here.
And what is your...
I couldn't see myself going any other place, to be honest with you.
What is your day like? How is it there for you?
I go physio 5 times a day, maybe twice a day. OT comes into me in the morning and dinner time, and then I go outside and chill out in the back. And it's just, my day is just filled up. Like, I do weights and just keep myself busy. Listen to Alexa, watch telly.
What
a night of nurses and night of cares.
What's Alexa doing for you?
Music, very good for the head.
Who do you like to listen to?
Luke Kelly.
Really?
My favourite.
Good on you. And what about TV? What are you watching? What's distracting you?
And actually, there's Sky Sports News all day, every day.
On a loop.
Yes, constantly.
And Steve, what about visitors? Because obviously COVID has changed things enormously. What's happening in that regard?
I have about four visitors down once a week. So maybe Saturday or Sunday. But it's normally only two comes down. My grandfather or my father or my nanny or my mother. It's only them four to come down.
And who do you look forward to seeing most coming through the door?
My nanny Bridget.
I was wondering, would you answer that?
I hope no one takes offence to that.
You just lost three visitors. And why your nanny?
Just so I'm so close to her.
Yeah. Did you say that before all of this, that you were their carer?
No, I wasn't their carer. I was just there helping them.
In what way?
Just know if they need the stuff done, like, because they're two, they're old, they're pushing on now, they're not filling barrels of turf for them, bringing out the bins for them, and eyeing them themselves.
So who's doing that for them now?
The family pulled together and they're all doing it.
That's the way to do. Do you miss doing that?
Yes, I do. I miss being there. I miss monsters or lamb chops.
Who does the lamb chops?
My nanny.
And okay, describe the dream nanny meal to me, because I love lamb chops. Talk to me.
Lamb chops.
Yeah.
6-7 lamb chops and a plate of chips.
So no wonder you're 6'3" and all the rest. Are six lamb chops. Are they from the butcher or from the farm, or what's the crack?
From the butcher.
Yeah, they must be good. Could she smuggle that sort of meal into you, or is that allowed?
No.
No, not allowed to do that.
No, but they get them here for me, but they're not the same.
Yeah, but they're doing their best, right?
They're doing their very best. Yeah.
They need to let the nanny into the kitchen to try and prepare the meal for you.
That would be a dream come true, right?
Let's see where it goes. You also mentioned you like annoying the carers. What do you do to annoy them?
Just constantly annoy them. I couldn't even tell you on air what I do be doing to them.
And when you think about home, what's the plan in terms of getting out of where you are now in Clarenbridge and getting back to the home?
My next stop is home. Okay. And as of yesterday, I received news that the build for the extension is starting next Monday, fingers crossed.
And what is the extension? What's required?
It's a wet room, a bedroom, two storage rooms. And the inside of my mother and father's house has to be adapted, the downstairs of it, adapted for me to be able to go in, be able to use the house as well. Like,
how much is it going to cost?
82,000.
How much do you need?
I'm not 100% sure, but we need a good bit, to be honest with you.
Would you say? And not to pry, but I will ask you, then you don't have to answer. Is it a struggle, or are you on the right road?
Yeah, it's a struggle, yeah.
Okay. I'll come back to that in a second. But just so that people know that, for the Mater Hospital, you did a fundraiser in the middle of all of this, did you?
Yes, I did, yeah.
What did you do?
I started 100 miles for the month of August. You can run or walk it, but because I can't run or walk, I'm doing it on a Motomed bike.
Okay.
It's a hand bike. So I'm doing it on that. I raised over 1,200 for it.
For the Mater Hospital?
Yeah.
Here's a question from a selfish person. Why didn't you raise the money for your own GoFundMe page?
Because I just wanted to give back to the matter, because it literally saved my life there, like. And I've made friends in the Mater Hospital, five people, Rachel Matney, and Marie, Bette and Saoirse. They're like five sisters to me. There are five nurses on the spinal unit. So I had to give back to them.
Okay. I mean, there's no point in getting into it, but that's just, there's a particular kindness to what you did there. That's very striking, but I hope they were grateful for it. You mentioned the rugby. Ross Cray is a kind of rugby sort of land, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, there's a school there, the Cistercian College.
Yeah.
The big rugby college.
Sure.
And then the town itself is a big rugby town.
So have the club and the local community, if they're being, you kind of seem to mention them a couple of times, has been good to you? Is there anything they can do by way of fundraising or what have you?
They've fundraised already, but when I first had my crash, two of my friends, Damien and Gary, ran the Dublin Marathon and raised under 10,000 for me.
Great.
And then my uncle my family got together and done a 52k walk up the Devil's Spit, and they raised 7,500.
Okay, so you're touching 20 there.
Touching 20, yeah.
You need 82.
82, so yeah, we're still far out. But there's still a few fundraisers going on and a few people donating, but it's still not going to be enough, like.
No, we need a lot more for you.
A lot more.
We just need some generous person with a big, deep pocket listening in. A rugby fan or someone listening in who is big business and says quietly, sort that out. Crump. Let's get your GoFundMe page. I mean, this isn't the interview wasn't about GoFundMe, but I'm just so struck by you. And the simplicity. I've seen the generosity of the Irish people firsthand on the Late Late Show. I've seen it. I know it's there. But what's your the page, or how do we find? What do we Google?
Page on the GoFundMe is Push for Simo.
Push for Simo. SIMMO.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So if you Google that, you'll find it.
That's it. Yeah, you would.
Are you due to housing adaptation or a grant of some sort?
Yes, but I think it's only about 5,000 they're going to give. My mother and father are working, but they're on low income, like, but whatever way it doesn't meet the council's grant, so they're only, I think it's about 5,000 or something.
What's the maximum payment they could give you?
30,000.
But they're saying you're only allowed to get
5,000. Okay, and I understand that.
Yep.
The HMC are paying 3,600 a month to keep me in Clarenbridge. And why can't they just give off a one-off payment of 30,000? I just don't understand it.
I think your mathematics are better than the HSEs in this moment, but they might have a counter argument on that I'm not familiar with, and it's probably means testing and everything. But I hear what you're saying, Steve. I hear completely. So what would be your dream now, in practical terms, for your life and your future?
To wake up tomorrow morning with the money in there for the house and knowing that I'll be able to go home without worrying about money or anything.
And what would getting home mean to you?
Like win the lotto.
Why?
Should I just miss it so much? Miss everyone, miss my friends, miss just family, nieces, nephews, parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, cousins.
Yeah, I can understand.
I miss the community. I miss start my life again as well.
To do what?
Just be. My main goal is hopefully down the line is to set up a wheelchair accessible gym in my hometown.
What a great idea.
Down the line now. 5-6 years, hopefully.
Well, do you know what? Your timing is brilliant, because by that time we'll have a vaccine. So you won't have any worries about COVID.
That's true, yeah.
So this is the positive. Your business will start and you'll be about 30, 31. So it's a good age to be getting stuck into your new chapter of your life. So until then, you recover, you build up what you have, you try and get stronger. And then, yeah, all roads lead to your gym in Roscrea. It's going to be great.
Please God, Ryan. Please God.
You're a great soul. You're sensitive, you're kind, and you are optimistic. And we give out about how a mask makes your nose itchy or it's inconvenient to put in your pocket. And I talked to you today and I think there are bigger issues out there, and you can handle them with some skill or some practical mental ability. I don't know what you've got going on, Steve, but you have it. So hold on to it.
I will, of course, Ryan.
I look forward to meeting. I'd love to meet you sometime.
So would I. I'd love to come on your Late Late Show.
I'd love to have you on the Late Late Show. I'm not going to lie to you. So can we see what happens?
We can, of course.
I mean, we have to mind your health and keep an eye on all of those practicalities with COVID and so on. But let's see what we can do for you. In another world, I would have said, let's get Nanny up to the show and sit in the audience and we'll have some lamb chops together. But it's just there's no audience in September, so we can't offer you that. But in the meantime, you need 82. You probably need the guts of 68 there, 1,000 euro. That's, so yeah. If people want to Google
Push for Simo, S-I-M-M-O. Push for Simo on the GoFundMe page. They might be able to get you over the line and let you win the lottery tomorrow morning. It would be quite a beautiful thing. So I just, you know, you have touched a chord for people, Steve, people listening in this morning, people saying that I'm speechless at his positivity. I'm inspired by this lovely guy. I've just donated, says another. What an inspiration, an amazing man. He'll be in my prayers. So for what it's worth, there's a great wind in your sails. You're a credit to your folks and your grandparents, and we're going to keep an eye on you. Be a friend of ours, we'll be a friend of yours, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Can I just give a few shout outs before
on, that's what we're here for, do it.
So there's the few staff here in Clarenbridge Care Centre that touched my heart. So, Lorna Cara, Tara Duffy, my number one carer, Tara Slattery, Gavina, and Nurse Kate. And Sinead, my student physio I had in the National Rehabilitation Hospital. It's like a sister to me. And Lorenza, my chest physio from the day I was in the matter. And she started the job in the NRH when I was there, so I had her the whole way. And just mean everything to me. And thanks so much for everything.
Well said, Steve. I like your style. Let's meet up soon, okay?
Yes, perfect. Thanks very
much.
Sounds
good to me. You mind yourself, and thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Take it easy. Steve Simmons joining us on the line there. And sometimes you meet people and they knock your socks off, and he happens to be one of those people at 10 to 10.